Of grandparents and also a little bit of the gospel, which might be connected in some way, but my car is kind of double parked, so I know we have to hurry. I was thinking, though, we honor our grandparents in so many ways. I was surveying a friend of mine in the back pew, way back there. Thank you for the input. I said, what should I talk about today? He said, respect for our grandparents. So I do want to touch on that because it's funny. I didn't think about it, but thank you for the inspiration, because I think today in our society, we're growing up in the Western world, which often tells us that the older you are, especially after a certain point, retirement, whatever, the less useful you are. You can't do what you could do when you were in your 20s and 30s and 40s, maybe in your 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s. Therefore, society today would say, well, why don't you sit in the back row? You don't have much to offer. And I think my friend was right in the back row who said, like, no, respect for our grandparents is something to highlight. I think with age comes wisdom. That's what gray hairs really come from. It's not just with age, it's like your brain grows. No, I'm just kidding, I don't know, it just happens. I get some gray hairs. But I started recently thinking about when I was younger. I think, you know, not too long ago, I was working up in New York. Actually, that was a couple of decades ago now, because I'm in my 40s. I can imagine what it must be for you guys, grandparents. Like, that's a lot of decades ago when you're younger. I'm just kidding. This is called winning over your audience. Yeah, that. So, no, I want to share that I think our grandparents could teach us a lot. When you have a younger sibling, age 4 or 3, and you are age 5, 1 year above that person, does that younger sibling, like I watch my little nieces and nephews, the older ones always tell each other what to do. But the 5-year-old to the 4-year-old, she doesn't know much more than the 4-year-old, right? She's barely a year older, but she sure feels like she knows a lot more than that 4-year-old. But imagine that you're 16 and you're trying to teach your 5-year-old sibling something. You know a lot more at age 16 than your 5-year-old sibling. And with greater age has come greater wisdom to you. All the more reason. As we look to our elders, those who are perhaps in their 60s, 70s, 80s, my grandparents are almost 100. They've got a lot of wisdom. A lot of experience to share. And I want to say one way to respect them is to receive them. Receive what they offer you. Take time for them. You know how you show someone that you love them? You waste time with them. And in our society today that says you have no time to waste, you have to get to practice, to the next thing, to the game, to the sports conflict, to competition, whatever, back to school, to get your homework done, you gotta hurry, 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 hurry. You know, there are people who are worth wasting time with. It's important for us to ponder a lot. And one thing, I think at the wisdom of our grandparents is I think they could tell us a little bit as they look back on life and what they've learned is that the difficulties of life sometimes, the challenges, the obstacles, even sometimes the suffering, perhaps they would share with you that that was when they grew the most. In some occasions, that those sufferings they were so afraid of, especially little inconveniences, but even great challenges, maybe in hindsight they realize, wow, that was when I most grew. That was when something deeper happened in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. When we're younger, we're afraid of suffering. We run away from inconvenience. The gospel, the first reading that we read talks about the persecution of the church. We'll come back to that. But with greater burden, with greater obstacle, with greater challenge, comes greater growth, and honestly, greater honor. There's a great quote from St. Joan of Arc. She references something they're criticizing her about, and she's referencing her flag, why she honors her flag. And she says, and I think it applies to our loved ones who've really borne a lot in their life, sometimes in really difficult times, she said, it had borne the burden. It had earned the honor. We think of those who've gone before us, they've been through a lot, sometimes some really hard times. They have borne heavy burdens. They have a lot to offer each one of us. And having borne those burdens, they have earned our respect. We owe it to them. But especially in that topic of persecution, of difficulty, of obstacles, let me just tie this in a little bit to the gospel. Because we would think that when the early church was persecuted, it was like, oh my gosh, that's a terrible thing. Like the enemy's winning. Satan is trying to stop the church, just like he tried to stop Jesus by crucifying him on the cross. Those who hated Jesus tried to kill him. What happened when they killed him? That was the salvation of the entire world. Satan was trying to end salvation, and he ended up causing salvation, precisely by trying to have Jesus put to death. If you've ever seen The Lord of the Rings, I appreciate that the enemy, in his pride, did not suspect that by missing the little thing, he was causing his own demise. I think the enemy does that at the death of our Lord. We call it Good Friday, because even though he died, that was our salvation. And even though the church was persecuted by the enemies of Christ, at its very beginnings, as sometimes we see it still persecuted today in different ways, that persecution, we read at the very beginning, there broke out a severe persecution of the early church, and all were scattered. What happened when the Christians were scattered? Did it dissolve Christianity? Was that the end of salvation because they were scattered? Like scattered, like meaning like dissolved, ended? No, I would take it to mean scattered in the sense of planting more seeds. Because they scattered, the message of Christ had to reach farther and beyond the limits of Jerusalem. That's why the story goes on about Philip preaching the gospel of salvation to the Samaritans, precisely because he'd been fleeing from the persecution in Jerusalem. What the enemy brought about for the end of the church and to stop the growth of salvation ended up causing its expanse. I think it was Tertullian who said the blood of martyrs who died for their faith ended up becoming the seed of new Christians. And even Friedrich Nietzsche would say, "What does not kill me makes me stronger." And sometimes the burdens we bear, the persecutions we go through, the difficulties we confront, they are hard for us, but they also make us stronger. And the persecution of the church, even though it was hard for the members of the faith, these early members had they were arrested sometimes, they had their property confiscated without any message, any memo, it was gone. They were rich one day, poor the next, simply because they were Christians. Even today, people's popularity and fame suffers as soon as it comes out perhaps that they are Catholic or that their Catholic faith means something to them. But that persecution, sometimes our Lord uses it to bring about good. And I love the idea of like when the enemy tried to stomp it out, it ended up spreading further and farther. If that's lost on you, I was at a meeting yesterday. I keep having run-ins with spiders. Like, seriously, run-ins. But I won't get into the details of some of them. But yesterday, I was at a deanery meeting with all these priests from our deanery. It was like, whatever, 14, 15 priests and deacons. And I'm the dean. Well, I'm being transferred, so I'm actually no longer the dean. So I'm going from very Reverend Father Stephen Dardis, I suppose, to not so Reverend Father Stephen Dardis. But anyway, I'm at the deanery meeting, and there's a speaker presenting what's going to be in August, a Eucharistic procession on the Mississippi River. That's coming, and hopefully you'll hear more about that closer to August. But Father Michael is giving his presentation. Everyone's giving him their full attention. It's really enthralling. I'm sitting next to him because I'm the dean, and I'm starving because everyone else got to eat, and I had not gotten a chance to eat. So I politely kind of step up from the table, and I go to make my way over to the buffet, and I see this huge wolf spider, massive. And I just, like, I feel bad. Like, I don't want this spider to end up in somebody's briefcase or, God forbid, climbing on their person. So I ever so delicately and discreetly go to step on it. And all of its babies scattered everywhere, like thousands of little babies. I never knew a wolf spider could do that. But yes, they do that. So by crushing the spider, I extended spiderhood throughout the entire cafeteria. Anyway, if that image helps you, the persecution of the church, the difficulties that we faced, instead of stopping the church, instead of ending the message of salvation, it ended up enhancing it, broadening it, allowing it to reach greater limits, beyond greater limits. And in our own life, again, those who have gone before us would share that wisdom with us. The burdens that sometimes we've had to carry, the difficulties we've gone through, they didn't kill us. They made us stronger. And God forbid, but even those sicknesses or whatever else that may have brought about our death, in Christ, it only brought about greater life. We ask the Holy Spirit to deepen our faith, to allow that faith to be power and strength in our hearts, to overcome every obstacle, So no matter what the obstacle may be that we face, it can only bring about greater growth, greater expanse, greater maturity, greater compassion, greater humaneness in our own hearts towards one another. And may we continue to respect those who have borne the burden. They earned the honor. And may we give them our respect, our devotion, learn from them, and pass on those lessons when our time comes to those who will come behind us. Amen. St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us.